I'm calling it communication confusion, because when communication breaks down, relationships break down. And this is not a judgment on anyone, because we've all been there. But sometimes it can be marriages, it can be boyfriend, girlfriend, it can be friends, it can be family members, neighbors, workmates. Communication, brothers, sisters, is vital. Would anyone say that? And amen just means I agree. So if you and I pick up something very different in a conversation, it's usually going to end badly. And I'm going to look today at a not too well-known scripture portion, which talks about how two people took very different meaning from a conversation and see how you and I can protect our relationships. And you might go, I don't need to protect a relationship. And I'm going to go, yes, you do. And yes, I do. Because at the end of the day, it's all about our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. We've got to protect both, amen? So, and I was thinking about this. I was thinking about when I was a young adult, and the first company I worked for was a printing supply company. And the guy I worked alongside happened to be a retired cop or policeman from New York. His grandparents or something was Irish. Policemen retire a bit early, and he wanted a part-time job, so he worked with me in this company, and he was very New York altogether. And I remember about 2 weeks after I started, we were in work, and a really strange customer came in to buy supplies, but he was acting very oddly, and I turned to my workmate and I said, "Who's your man?" And if you've recently moved to Ireland, that's what we say. We say, "Who's your man?" Or if it's a girl, a lady, we say, "Who's your one?" Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, "Who's your man?" And he said, "What do you mean my man? I don't own that guy. You think he's my servant, a butler or something?" I said, "No, no, it's just the way we talk in Cork. It's okay." It's okay. So after that, I kept saying, "Hey, who's that guy?" So I had to change my vocabulary. Give a better one. I remember we had a temporary missionary here for about 6 weeks. This is years ago. But they were over here, and one of the guys, there was a bunch of them, and one of the guys came to me and he said, forgive me if you're American, I'm not taking you off, but I am, but anyway, forgive me America, forgive me Donald Trump, I'm so sorry. Anyway, so there was American missionaries, and one of the guys came up to me and said, "I'd really like to meet Ida. I believe her surname starts with B." So I said, "Okay, what's her name?" He said, "Ida B." And I said, "I don't know any Idas in the church, and to be honest, I've never heard of anyone in Ireland called Ida." "No, no, no, she's definitely here. So many people told me about Ida B." And I said, "What exactly did they say?" He said, "Well, they said Ida B is in church every Sunday." And I said, "Anna, that's the way we talk here. You know, Hibernian English. We say, the full thing is, I do be in church every Sunday. But actually, in Cork, we shorten it and we say, I do be in church every Sunday. It's actually not a person, it's just how we say, I do be in church every Sunday. It's a present continuous tense." He said, "No, no, they were talking about I do be." I said, "She's very spiritual. Amen." So we can be speaking the same words and we can have a totally different meaning of the words. And I want to speak today and say, may God forbid there to be confusion when you and I communicate and when the people in our families and in our circle of friends communicate. Because if we don't get that one right, people will be hurt. What does the book of Proverbs say? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So I'm going to look at Genesis 26 in a moment. It's not that long, but I do think it's profound. And we're looking at just two guys. One guy is called Isaac. His father was Abraham. His son was Jacob. So he's known as one of the patriarchs. So the Jewish faith, if you will, had its early beginnings with these three guys. And out of the Jewish faith, eventually, our faith, the Christian faith, came from. So Isaac is one guy. And another guy is someone who's not well known at all. His name was Abimelech. He was really a chief of a tribe, if you will. But the Bible translates it as king, because they called them that. But these were small communities. So Isaac and Abimelech are the two guys. And we're going to read it now in Genesis 26. But I pray, Holy Spirit, would you give us insight and wisdom and humility and honesty as we read these words. And let them speak to us where they need to. In Jesus' name, amen. And I should say, communication is meant to be real rather than fake. So the theme of this church, and you see it in the windows, is not fake people, fake church. It's real people, real church. So we want to be real with God and with one another. Genesis 26. Because there was a famine in the land, Isaac traveled to see King Abimelech, and he received permission to settle in the land of the Philistines. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he told them she was a sister, because he was afraid they would kill him and take her because she was so beautiful. A good while later, King Abimelech looked out his window and saw Isaac with his wife. Pause. People lived their lives outdoors a lot. And not only that, Isaac was with his wife. Use your imagination. Amen. So the king, Abimelech, called Isaac to him and he said, "Why have you done this to us? My men could have taken your wife and we would all have been guilty." Because of this, because Isaac had become wealthy, Abimelech said to him, "Go away from us, and you're too strong to be with us anyway." So Isaac left them, and he moved to Beersheba. And after a time, Abimelech went to visit Isaac at Beersheba. "Why have you come to visit me, seeing as that you hate me and sent me away from you?" Isaac asked. Abimelech replied, "We can plainly see that the Lord, Yahweh, has blessed you. So let's come to an agreement that you and I will be at peace with one another. We never laid a hand on you, and we did you no harm while you were with us, and now you are blessed by the Lord." And it ends up saying, so Isaac made a feast for them that day, and they made oaths or promises of peace with each other. And that same day, Isaac's servants came in with news that they had dug a well and they now had a great supply of water. God bless your word to our souls. Amen. So we're told there was a famine in the land, and Isaac went to see Abimelech to get permission to settle in the land of the Philistines. So the land Isaac would have been in would have been the kingdom of Israel here in the blue, and you can see it there on the screens. And Isaac would have been nomadic, a bit like me right now. He'd be just traveling around with his flocks. But Abimelech really lived here in Gaza. So that red strip there in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen is Gaza and a little bit of southern Israel. They were the five ports or city-states, if you will. They were really towns that made up the kingdom or the land of the Philistines. And so because there was a famine, Isaac went and sought refuge. He left a place where he was poor to a place where he could earn a living, like half our church here. You leave one nation for a better life in another. And that is biblical. And we all say hallelujah. Who'll say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So he settled in the land. And as you heard, the men of that place asked Isaac about his wife because she was so beautiful. I don't know what was going on with them, I can imagine, but she was so stunning. And remember, the women would have worn veils over their faces. Her eyes must have been something else. But, you know, Rebecca had an incredible personality and attitude and spirit within her. And I think a lot of it, not only was she beautiful on the outside, more importantly, she was beautiful on the inside. And this shone out. So she was a very attractive woman, and obviously the local men start asking about her. But Isaac said to them, "She's my sister," because he was afraid they would kill him and take her because she was so beautiful. Now, Isaac did exactly as his father had done a generation previously. Abraham was in exactly the same situation with Sarah, and Abraham told the same lie to protect himself. Brothers, sisters, sometimes in our families, down the family tree, whether it's a curse or it's just something that we grew up with, we can see addictions in each generation. We can see depression or suicide. We can see lying. We can see it repeated. I tell you this though, and I declare it, I know someone who breaks that, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
So that my children and my grandchildren need never have what I had. Yeah. But instead they would have the blessing that I have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And not that which was negative, or that my father or my grandfather or my great-grandfather had. So the Christian faith is about breaking that which is destructive in families and then releasing us into the blessing. Because God turns the curse into a blessing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But Isaac lied, and he should have known better. And you know that the king looked out his window, saw that she was his wife. And the king calls him in, or Abimelech, and he says, "Go away from us. You're too strong to be with us anyway." You see, Isaac didn't put his faith in the Lord. He put his faith in his own ability. Never a good idea. Isaac thought he was streetwise. Isaac thought, "I'll talk my way out of this." Isaac thought, "I'll manipulate the situation so that I protect myself." But you know what? When we rely on ourselves, we fall. When we rely on the Lord, we win. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not that complicated. And I've seen this all my adult life. And I've seen it in thousands of people. Put your faith in the Lord. Don't put it in your own ability. Because our ability is nothing. He's well able. Praise God. And so here, Isaac reaps what he sows. And Abimelech asks him to leave. He puts in, "You're too strong to be with us anyway." Do you know, I've never met any human being who is in a difficult situation. It's like the lie was the straw that broke the camel's back. No, it was a big straw. But it's like Isaac was becoming too powerful there. And so this was another reason. But Isaac ruined his chances with the lie. And so we're told Isaac left them and he moved to Beersheba. And if you can see my finger here, this is Gaza. And Beersheba is almost a direct line in. It's the capital of today's southern Israel. And it's about 50 kilometers or so. So it's not that far. So they were still kind of neighbors, not that close, but still to some degree neighbors, but in a different land. So Isaac had to leave them. Isaac was being blessed where he was, but he had to move away from the blessing. And you can say, they were the Philistines. You see, God can bless you anywhere.
Amen.
God can bless you when everyone around you is struggling. 1,000 may fall at your right hand,
yep.
10,000 at your left. But if the Lord is for you, who can be against
Amen.
You?
Amen. Hallelujah.
So Isaac, if you will, left the blessing, and he goes in, and Beersheba is a desert. It's a desert city. So it's not exactly that easy. But then we're told, later on, we don't know how long, a lot of commentators think it was about a year later, but we're not sure, Abimelech went to Beersheba to visit Isaac. And a lot of the times we just jump over these kind of verses. But this is huge. Abimelech took the initiative. They had a fallout. They had to put it mildly, tension entered in. Their friendship, their connection was not good anymore. And someone has to take the initiative. And Abimelech decided he would make the journey. So he did probably a day, maybe 2 days journey through the desert to go and visit Isaac. Can I say, in marriages, in friendships, within families, workmates, sometimes even with neighbors, someone has to take the initiative to make things okay.
Yeah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can I challenge you as I challenge myself? How about you and I take the initiative? Mm-hmm. I know that some relationships, they're finished and it's not good to go back. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about when it shouldn't have happened. Just take the initiative. Be the peacemaker. Because Jesus had a lot to say about peacemakers, didn't he? He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You'll be blessed if you're a peacemaker. So, now remember, Abimelech was a Philistine. Hello. Isaac was the spiritual one. Isaac was the one who worshipped the one true God. And yet, Abimelech keeps mentioning the Lord. And he doesn't just say, the God of the Philistines. He uses the word Yahweh. He knows there's a God above any other so-called God. And this guy, who had no advantage spiritually from his upbringing, takes the initiative and travels through the desert to go and try and make peace with a guy who wronged him. What a hero hidden in the Old Testament. Well done, Abimelech. And look at Isaac's reaction, verse 27. Why have you come to see me, seeing that you hate me and sent me away from you? Hello? This is how Isaac interpreted the situation. That Abimelech hated him. And it was because of his hate and the people in Gaza, because of their hate, that they rejected him. And I have to go, hey, Isaac. Or as we say in Cork, Isaac, come here, boy. Come here. Back up the truck there a second. Hang on a while now here, Isaac. You're supposed to be the spiritual one. What? What are you saying, Isaac? Is that really your interpretation of what went on? Oh man, there's communication confusion here. Let's just take a little brief look, Isaac. You were their guest. You were the one who lied to them. You put your wife in danger. You put the local men in danger. This is on you, Isaac, spiritual one. It's all on you. You see, every relationship, every organization, every situation you're in, there's an unspoken social contract. And most of the time, a social contract is based on trust. And when you realize someone is lying to you, you, all right, you kind of don't want too much to do with them. Because I can't trust this guy. He's just lying. And so Isaac broke the social contract. But you know what I think was going on as well? I think he was humiliated. I think Isaac knew he had made a mess of it. I think Isaac knew he had put his wife in danger. And Isaac was hurting, like sometimes you are, or I am. Isaac is embarrassed, sometimes you are, sometimes I am, of ourselves. He's hurting, he's embarrassed, he doesn't know how to handle it. It's an awkward situation, and so he is classic projecting and putting it back on the other guy, even though it really should be on him. And brothers, sisters, let's be mature believers and not project onto other people what we should be looking at ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
How about we be spiritual? How about we be humble? How about we be real and honest before God and others and go, you know what? Hands up. I made a mess of that. When you do that, people will respect you even more.
Yeah.
But when we try and project it and put it on someone else, you hate me, that's why you got rid of me, he had a Cork accent. You hate me. No, Isaac, you were the one who did the wrong. Look at Abimelech and how he responds. We never laid a hand on you. And we did you no harm when you were with us. And we sent you away peacefully. So what does he do? He just reiterates the positive, and he reiterates what he remembers of their conversation and fallout. And everything he says here is true. But I think one of the most powerful things is what the guy didn't say. And some of the most powerful things you and I can have in our relationships is when we say nothing. Because Abimelech, he goes on to say, let's make peace with one another. So he brings it straight back to peace. He holds out the olive branch. He's looking at the bigger picture. He's looking at restoring a relationship and a friendship there. And Abimelech never said, Isaac, you lied. He never said, Isaac, you put my men in danger. You put a potential guilt on our nation. This is huge back then. He never said, Isaac, let me remind you now here, boy. You were our guest, okay? And he never said, Isaac, my trust was broken in you. He didn't start defending himself. He saw the bridge beyond the bridge. He saw the bigger picture. He saw, you know what? Why should I try and score points here? How about you and I make peace together?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, let's make peace.
Yeah. Amen.
You and I came up here with the bread and wine. That is all about God making peace with us. And I'll tell you something, I didn't deserve it. Did you?
No.
Did you?
No.
None of us did. Mm-hmm. We don't deserve it. But he was a man of peace. A Philistine. A Philistine, and Isaac, the spiritual one. Abimelech could have said, what do you mean we hate you, like? If he was in court. What do you mean we hate you? How dare you use those kind of words? Are you out of your tree? We hate you. And you know what happens then? When we start defending ourselves and we start getting into exactly what happened, it's you said, he said, she said, they said, and everybody loses. It's like an eye for an eye, everybody ends up blind. Brothers and sisters, we need to let that go and say amen.
Amen.
I know there's time for serious conversations. I know there's times where we need to challenge those we love. I'm not saying that that's not part of the deal, but please hear my emphasis today as I sense the Holy Spirit leading me. This is about us making peace and about us not allowing our pride to rise. Because it's pride. It's ego. We don't want to be embarrassed. I get it. I don't want to be embarrassed. We want to hold our heads up high. I promise you this. You hold your head up high because Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's what gives you your confidence. That's what gives me my confidence. Not because I sorted him out or I sorted her out. You know what? That's foolish thinking. Our sense of confidence comes from above,
amen,
not from below.
Hallelujah. Yeah, amen.
Praise God. So he never went into it. Look at what Proverbs 19:11 says. A wise person controls their anger and will not bring up a past wrong. So if I have a fallout with Denise, which is incredibly rare, praise God. It's true. But if I have a fallout with Denise, and I have a very sharp memory, and if I start saying to Denise, hang on a while now, 17 years ago, you gave me a look, and then 13 years ago, you said to me, and then 8 years ago, if I started going down that road, it's over. And Denise would be right to say, there's the door, get lost. You can't live with someone like that. You can't have a working relationship with someone. You don't want to hang around with someone like that. If someone is going to keep on bringing up mistakes you made or I made, you know what? No. A wise person controls their anger and will not bring up a past wrong. So Abimelech was scriptural even though he didn't know it. Even though he didn't know it. A kind answer soothes angry feelings. But you come back with harsh words, you stir anger up. So what do we want? We want relationships that keep breaking down with a lot of anger and a lot of hurt and rejection? Or are we spiritual enough to see beyond winning an argument and see about winning back the relationship? Hallelujah. Because brothers and sisters, all of us in our lives, me included, have strained or broken relationships from way back. Some of them had to be, and some of them didn't. And I think we've an awful lot to learn from this guy Abimelech, who just appears briefly and then goes again. If it's possible on your part, live at peace with whom? Everyone except my father. Everyone except the guy I work with. Everyone except that neighbor. Everyone except my cousin or whatever. No, if it's possible on your part. Now, Paul here is allowing for the fact that it's not always possible, but that's on them and not on you. And if Abimelech had gone to Isaac and Isaac had just said, get lost, you know what? Abimelech would have had a clear conscience. So if you and I try our best, I'm not talking about being stupid here or putting ourselves in danger, but we try our best to make sure things are okay. And the person throws it back at us. You know what? On their own head then be it. The blood, if you will, to use that phrase, is off your head or my head. We've tried our best, now we leave them with the Lord. It's up to the Lord to do his work. But we have tried. But how does this end? Isaac dropped all of his charade. He dropped the hate. He dropped, how dare you. He saw within Abimelech an attitude of grace and of kindness and, dare I say it, even of love. I know there was a commercial side to it, but way deeper was this. And Isaac then suddenly, all of his upbringing, all of his instincts, grace and mercy came flooding in. This is like a pre-shadow of Calvary. And Isaac responds with grace. And what does he do? He lays a feast before his enemy. Remember what David said? Lord, you prepare a feast or a table before me in the presence of whom? My enemies.
Yeah.
And in Jewish culture, you never ate food with someone who was your enemy. You only ate food with someone you were at peace with. So Isaac responds with grace. Hallelujah. He responded with grace. Can I prophesy? There is someone here, and God wants you to take the initiative. I don't know, is it a friend, a workmate, a girlfriend, some family member? But if you take the initiative, the Lord is saying, they will respond with grace if they see that heart in you. And one last point. That same day, is that a big coincidence? That same day, his men dug a well in Beersheba and they found an abundance of water. You see, God brings a blessing.
Amen.
You know that in the Christian church, where the brothers and sisters dwell in unity, the Lord what? He commands a blessing.
Amen.
When we're at peace with one another, God commands a blessing. How can people come to faith and be born again if the people are fighting with each other in the church? The good shepherd, the great shepherd, won't put his children in there, particularly newborns. But the blessing comes when people have peace with one another.
Amen.
And did you know that well that was dug thousands of years ago by Isaac, that well of water, and check it out, is still flowing today in the city of Beersheba. The water they discovered continues thousands of years later. When God changes your heart and my heart, it's not just us, it's our children and our children's children and their children. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you might go, oh my God, my kids aren't in a great place. God hasn't finished with them yet.
Yeah.
God has another chapter to write in their lives yet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We praise God for all the sons and daughters who are in the house. But for the prodigal sons and prodigal daughters, the lost sheep of Israel, as it were, the God I know is chasing them. He's
Amen.
Pursuing them.
Amen.
And they will respond. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me give you one last quote. I can't find the author, but I really liked it. Quality communication is what you say, how you say it, and how you listen. What are your words? Are they life-giving? Or are they he said, she said, they said? How do you say it? If I look at my beloved wife, Denise, and I say, Denise, I love you, all right? Oh God, thanks for that. Like, how do we say our words with one another? We can grudgingly say the right words, but our attitude is all off. And are we listening to where they're at? Most people just wait for a gap in the conversation to jump in with what they have to say. But we should listen to the other person. Are we hearing what they're picking up? Are we picking up their body language, their heart? Is there some old wounds that's just there that we need to pray into? Brothers, sisters, we can win people and rescue people from isolation, loneliness, and heartbrokenness. And the only one who can do it is Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit, and He sends His Holy Spirit, then there's great hope for us. I'm going to ask you to stand, brothers and sisters. We're going to sing that beautiful song. What is it again, Ben? I forgot it. I speak Jesus. And I think we need to speak Jesus. Just think of the relationships you've got. School, work, family, marriage, even neighbor, friends. Speak Jesus rather than speaking our word. I'm going to give you the opportunity in just a moment to ask the Lord into your life. If you've never done it, because that's the first communication. And secondly, for those of us who want to pray peace into a relationship in our lives, we're going to do that. And I'm going to call you up if you want to do that. But let's sing this, Ben, Talitha.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there's a peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Stage. If your communication with God has never happened, you've never sensed God really speak to you, encourage you, touch you, you've never had a dream that's come from Him, you've never seen God in a tangible way, and so you want to start that journey with Him, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to put up your hands in total privacy. Or if it did happen for you and you drifted away from Him and you want to come back and start that conversation and communication and connection again, this is for you as well. So with every eye closed, on and off stage, and all I can see are shadows, would you put up your hand to acknowledge that you want to call on the name of Jesus? I see your hand. I see yours. Okay. I see yours. Yours, 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 okay, and yours. I think we've got 8 people. I'm going to ask, would you pray this prayer with me? Would you repeat it after me? I'm going to ask everyone to do it, but particularly those 8 people. Are we ready to do it?
Yeah.
Are we willing to do it in solidarity?
Yes.
Praise God. So let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
I invite you into my life.
I invite you into my life.
I long to hear your voice.
I long to hear your voice.
Speak to me, Lord.
Speak to me, Lord.
Through my circumstances.
Through my circumstances.
Through the Bible.
Through the Bible.
Through peace in my heart.
Through peace in my heart.
Through trusted friends.
Through trusted friends.
And through your Holy Spirit.
Through your Holy Spirit.
I invite you to be my friend,
my
leader,
my
savior.
My savior.
Forgive me my sin. Make me clean. And help me, Lord, to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give those eight guys a big round of applause. If you'd like to talk to some of us later, we'd love to give you some literature, some stuff to help you on your journey. If you want to contact us during the week digitally, we're on all the platforms. It's very easy to do it. Don't be isolated. Make sure God is real and that it's not just you on your own. You need encouragement like I do from one another. One more prayer, and that is, is there someone in your life, and nobody's pointing any fingers, but things aren't the way they should be? Someone in the family, or a friend, or a workmate, or someone in school, might even be a neighbor. And you know you need to pray peace into that relationship, and you need wisdom. I'm going to ask you to be courageous and humble, and lift up your hand if that's you. Because we're going to pray. Whoa, okay. Well, praise God. I can see the hands going up. Praise God. I can think of some as well in my own life, so there's no me or you in this. We're going to sing that song again, and I'm going to ask you to come up to the top. And if you're okay with it, I'm actually going to ask you to kneel down, because we're going to pray a humble prayer before the Lord in just a moment. Please leave your seat and come to the top.
Okay. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Because we are weak and we are broken men and women, we ask that you would forgive us. Can you say amen to that? But Lord, we want to bring peace to this relationship. And it might not go back to the way it was, but we want to have a clean heart before you, God. I pray, Lord, would you give us courage? Would you give us insight? And would you lead us by your Holy Spirit? Let us be like Abimelech. Oh God, let us take the journey through the desert, and we know it's hard. And I pray we would be the ones bringing peace. Oh God, I pray that for the one we're praying for now, hear their names whispered in our prayers. as they go up to the throne of heaven. Would you put grace in their hearts to receive where we're coming from? And I pray, God, even if they say hurtful words back to us, that you would help us to be mature and wise and graceful. God, if they reject my brother or sister, I pray you would give them a peace and a confidence to be able to turn around and leave it all with you. We'll say amen.
Amen.
But oh God, I have faith today to pray that relationships will be restored, that broken hearts will be healed, that tension and misunderstanding would go in the name of Jesus, and that what Satan has started would end by a mighty move of your Holy Spirit, Lord. So come and move now, Lord Jesus. It is easier to capture a walled city, the Bible says, than to restore a brother you've offended. But we thank you, God, that the walls of Jericho came tumbling down when the people of God, by faith, walked around them 7 times. So, Heavenly Father, by faith, we walk around that walled city of Jericho, that relationship that seems impossible, and we declare the walls will come tumbling down. And you will be glorified. And instead of rejection and embarrassment and hurt, there will be grace and peace and a future. Some of us are praying for our family. I don't know, is it a mom, a dad, a brother, sister, husband, wife, son, daughter? It's not work or school or neighbors or a friend, it's family. Could you just lift up your right hand high if you're praying for someone in your family? Okay. I declare into the family you are praying for now that family, your family, that God would bring harmony. Praise God. Believe the Lord is saying to someone here, pray for your family, that he is going to raise up someone like Rahab who was in Jericho, someone you would never consider. And Rahab hung a red ribbon, as it were, out of her window, and all her family were rescued. God is giving you a promise. All your family will be rescued. I deliver another word, and I delivered it Friday night, and I know it's for here and now. They thought they were all sinking in the storm in the Mediterranean, and Paul rose up and he declared that the Lord said to him, you and all who sail with you will be saved, will be rescued. Nobody will die. So we declare that over every family that is lifted up before you now in Jesus' name. And we say, Jesus, let all our loved ones who sail with us, and maybe they're not talking to us, but we pray, rescue them from the death of unforgiveness or pride or misunderstanding. And let our families know healing and restoration in Jesus' mighty name. God's people said,
amen.
Can we give these guys a round of applause after we encourage? As we make our way back to the seats, let's sing this through one more time before we close. Let's just hang on another few minutes, because the words of this song are powerful. Let's sing it and then we'll come.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace within your presence. Asking Jesus.
Declaring there is hope in there.
And I have seen healing. So I'm going to pray for healing of relationships in every life here, whether it's living or it's long forgotten. So before we close, can I encourage you to lift your hands if you're okay with that? And we pray now, Lord, for the week ahead. We invite you into every moment of the week ahead, by day and by night. Whether we're on holiday or we're working or we're looking after family, we pray, Lord, you would bring healing.
Amen.
Healing into every relationship.
Amen.
Healing into every emotion.
Amen.
Healing into our memories.
Amen.
And healing into the future.
Amen.
Thank you that the God we love and worship is the God who restores the heart of the Father towards his children. He is the God who heals broken hearts, broken minds and broken bodies. He's the God who gives us hope. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And thank you for moving here among us today in Jesus' mighty name. And one last time, God's people say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.